Good morning. My name is Mike Swanson. It's my privilege to welcome you to our services this morning, whether you're here live and in person or watching through live stream or maybe even watching this recorded in some days in the future. I want to welcome you this morning to our services. We want to open up here in just a minute with some prayer. I do want to make you aware of a number of things. We've had an influx of people either in our congregation who have directly gotten corona or have been exposed. So there's a number of folks we're praying for, and I encourage you to continue praying for them. I think a number of folks are just needing to stay away. One of them who has been at least exposed is Pastor, and so I ask you to continue to pray for the Love family. I'm sure he's watching now from home, but continue to pray for them and a number of others that are in our congregation. Others that we've been praying for, there's an encouraging note. Diana Bolins is here. We prayed for her for a number of weeks as she faces surgery, and good to have her back with us this morning, being able to be here live and in the service. A couple of announcements I want to draw your attention to. Next Sunday, we will have our services in the morning as normal, but in the evening, we're also going to have a special Thanksgiving service, a time where we can come together, sing, and just praise God for the way He works in our lives and in our country and in our congregation. Just prior to that, at 5:30, there will be a short quarterly business meeting. Normally, this would have occurred in October, but with everything going on and the adjustments to our schedule we've had to make with facilities, we had to push that back. So that will happen next Sunday at 5:30. We do have a summary for the financials that's on one of the tables in the back, so I encourage you to grab that and take a look, and we'll be going over those in a little more depth next Sunday at 5:30. Then also on December 6th, so that's 2 weeks away, we will be having a special open house for our Children's Center, which is going to open up on the 30th of November. This has been long awaited. A lot of work's gone in. A number of folks in the congregation have chipped in and helped out in many, many ways. Tom Crum has really led a group of guys that have helped out, but the regular construction is about finished, and we're really excited to have that open and for you all, our congregation, to be able to see that. So after the services on Sunday, on the 6th, we'll have the opportunity to go in there and be able to see those things in person. I think that is all that we have. Please see your bulletin for maybe other announcements. Of course, you may have seen that children's ministries for the next 2 weeks will be shut down. And that's a COVID-related shutdown and just following protocols. And we appreciate you being patient with us and understanding as we make some of these decisions. Aaron and his team have really worked hard on that. And we want to do everything to keep everyone as safe as possible. Please join with me as we pray, and we'll start our services this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you for all the ways that you are working, for the ways that you're working in our lives individually, in our community, in our congregation, and in our country, Father. And we know that you are sovereign, and Father, we know that you hold all things in your hands. We pray that you'll continue to encourage, to challenge, to bless us, Father, and as we open your word today, that those same things would be involved in our lives today, that we'd be challenged by your word, that we'd be encouraged, that we'd see hope. And Father, I pray that as we open your word, Father, your name would be honored and glorified in all that is said and done. Father, be with us today and throughout this week as we have opportunities to share you with those in our community that need to know you and need to have the hope of salvation that you bring. And Father, give us boldness as we face those challenges. Father, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning and lead you in a time of praise and worship. Had a Zoom call with our Sunday school class last night, and just trying to emphasize the fact that sometimes, I know I do, look at the negative things and what's happening in our world and within our personal lives over the last year and a half, 2 years. But then going back and seeing how God did special things and just praise Him for those things, some real positive things in our lives as well. So beauty for ashes, I guess, is a good biblical way to look at it. I would just ask you to stand with me as we sing together and praise the Lord this morning as we sing, praise Him ever in joyful song.
Breath that of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. Oh, all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness. God, we lift that to you this morning, the promises that you have given us and we've seen you fulfill. We praise you. We have seen the goodness of God over and over and over again, and we praise you. Thank you for salvation, Lord, and for the hope that we have of eternal life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's a joy to have Todd and Dawn and their family with us this morning. They really don't need an introduction to our Grace family, and I don't want to take away from your time. Todd, you come on. They have been faithful servants for many years, and we're proud of you, and we're honored to have you guys as our missionaries in China.
Amen. Thanks, Fred. The goodness of God. God has been faithful our whole lives. Amen. It's a joy to be back with all of you here, even though the circumstances are much different than any of us could have ever expected 2 years ago, the last time that we saw you. But it is good to be alive, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And it is a joy for us to see all of you continuing to faithfully worship and faithfully serve him here back in Chattanooga, just like we have been over there in China. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. On February 3, we were enjoying the end of our two-year term, even though persecution has definitely been on the increase over the last 2 years in China. We were experiencing a lot of fruit, being able to witness just as freely as we had before, even more opportunities, I would say, to be able to reach into people's lives because of the difficulties in their lives. And we were given word by United Airlines that we had 3 hours to get to the airport to get the last flight leaving China for the next 6 months. Now it's already been 9 months, and flights still haven't resumed. So we grabbed our bags, grabbed the kids, jumped in a bus, loaded it up with 12 suitcases, brought all my parents' suitcases too, because they were coming home later that night on Korean Air, made it to the airport, and I felt a little bit like Noah must have on the ark as the door closed and his 8 family members were safe. Never did we dream that over the next 2 months of pretty fruitful ministry here in the States, preaching in our home church in Dayton and ministering in Fanny's nursing home and other nursing homes. My aunt is 93 and our cousin is 100, so we were going around to the nursing homes. Never dreamed that COVID would follow us halfway around the world. And so suddenly in March, again, everything shut down. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so definitely this year our family is learning the truth of the scripture, in whatever state I am, there to be content. whether we're in Ohio or Tennessee, whatever state we are, to be content, whether we're in China or in America, whether we're fruitfully serving in the church or in the nursing homes, or whether we're starting Entner Family Baptist Church in Cedarville, Ohio, having house church under COVID for 2 months, no matter what the circumstances have been, we've been finding the secret of contentment just in finding our worth and our joy in our walk with Christ. Where do we find our joy? Where do we find our happiness? Your list might be a little different than mine, but this is an excellent year to take stock of what truly brings us happiness. For me, it's scoring a goal in soccer. You might have noticed I was limping up the stage. Pardon my limp. I sprained my ankle 2 days ago playing indoor soccer up in Dayton. For me, it's sharing the gospel with people who've never heard it before, preaching at Christmas outreach services to thousands of people, most of never whom the gospel. But Jesus told his disciples, don't take delight in all of these things that they were able to do for him on their first missions trip, but find your joy in this, he told his disciples, that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Nothing can take that away, brothers and sisters. This world is but a shadow. We're just passing through. But Jesus said, I have prepared a place for you in heaven. In my Father's house are many rooms. And he has a place awaiting all of us there. So if your house is destroyed by a tornado, you've got a mansion. I don't think it's going to have any problem with storm damage. Praise the Lord. So we're going to encourage you a little bit by some of the things we're thankful for. Psalm 52:3 says, I will bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving to glorify God. And we want to glorify God today by bringing a sacrifice of thanksgiving. By the way, happy early Thanksgiving to all of you. One of our favorite holidays. We usually have our entire team over to our house. It used to be Ed and Carmen hosted our entire team, but they moved to India. And so we kind of took over the honors. But we're going to share some of the great things the Lord has been doing. We are really excited about one of the young men that we've been partnering with and discipling. We led him to Christ during SARS. So as many of you remember, back in 2003, there was a not quite worldwide pandemic called SARS, and only about 1,300 people died, but the whole country shut down. It didn't affect the U.S. too much. I'm not sure anyone died over here from it. But during that shutdown, we were able to share the gospel with a young man, Kevin. And Kevin was a sports guy. He was going to the sports university, learning to be a coach, tennis and soccer and swimming. And we shared the gospel with him. He got saved. He was a minority from South China. He grew. Eventually, he became pastor of the church. And he's gone with me now on 4 missions trips around the world. And just a wonderful young man. So we praise the Lord for Kevin. Fast forward 17 years, and I'm not sure you all know it, but COVID-19's actual technical name is SARS-2. So here we are reliving history 17 years later. Pray that the Lord will use this pandemic to bring new fruit out of light, out of darkness. And who knows, maybe some of these young people that we've been able to share the gospel with are going to become pastors someday and be leading missions trips around the world. So let's pray for the result of this pandemic in China. It's also wonderful for us to be able to reflect on God's goodness to our family. My parents have spent the last 55 years on the mission field, most of it in the Philippines, where this photo was taken. And it's been a joy for us to see that they've been able to make it to 81. They're finally retired. The day we flew home is the day they flew home, and they probably won't be going back with the pandemic. And my dad's dealing with blindness in both eyes and dementia, so this is probably the end of their long journey, but we're glad that we've been able to be a part of that. They've been with us for 11 years, the last 11 years in China. Grace Baptist Church was started by them in Cebu City, Philippines, 25 years ago, so I was able to go and preach at the anniversary service. They had 300 people packed into the provincial hall. They've started about 17 daughter churches during that time, and they've baptized something like 25 people last year, and so we're just really thankful to see God's goodness on Grace Baptist Church on the other side of the world, just like he has on you folks here. It was a wonderful celebration of the Lord's goodness. They had a choir of 200 singing to an audience of 100 because most of the church was in the choir. So it was really just an exceptional. Fred would have enjoyed that. A really neat time. We also praise the Lord for God's goodness to Dawn and I. We celebrated 25 years of ministry in China this August. Our favorite Chinese restaurant in Dayton has been closed down for takeout only since March, and so we still haven't been able to get back to celebrate with some good Chinese food. But we thank you for your partnership and your prayers over this last quarter century. It's hard to believe it's been that long, but we thank the Lord for his faithfulness in keeping us and using us and allowing us to minister for him in China now for the last 25 years. It's also neat to see the Lord's goodness. I have no greater joy than to see my own children walk in truth. And it was a wonderful day when Grace and Josiah and Mia were baptized in the International Church there in Beijing. You can see they have to wheel in a bathtub because it meets in a hotel, and so they don't have a baptistry or anything like that. One of our churches in Indiana uses a horse trough for their baptism, so I think the bathtub's a little bit of an upgrade, but it was a really neat day for us. Obviously, tremendous joy in seeing our children follow the Lord. Daniel was saved several months later on Easter Sunday, and so it's been a great joy to us to see how the Lord is working in the next generation as well as in this past generation. We also covet your prayers for us as we want to go back and long to go back. It looks like it's going to be a number of months now still before China reopens and the borders reopen and flights reopen and quarantines are lifted. Several of our friends flew to Korea. They're in a hotel for 2 weeks and then they'll fly to Beijing. They'll be in a quarantine for another 2 weeks and then they'll have 1 week quarantine at home. So after 5 weeks, they'll be able to return to teaching in the classroom. It's very expensive, and so we're going to wait until some of these things have disappeared, and hopefully maybe they have a vaccine, and things will be returning to a semblance of normalcy. Nobody knows what normal really is anymore, but we hope to be able to go back in the spring, and that's what we're praying for. But thank you for your prayers for us and for our family. Thank you for your prayers for China, and we really want to just rejoice in what the Lord has been doing. And we still have another thing we want to share with you, which is the Lord has been expanding our ministry not just to China, but also to other countries. And some of it is through the partnership of not just Grace Baptist Church and your prayers and your giving, but also your partners in ministry that you've sent out to Eastern Europe. And so I've been able to attend the round table with some of our pastors from China. And originally started in Turkey. Steve Wingett invited me 8 years ago, and then we were able to go to Moldova, to Georgia. I know it seems close to you guys, like 10 miles away. Really, Georgia's a small country in Europe, several thousand miles away. It was about a 10-hour flight for us from China. And then most recently to Romania. Romania was especially significant for me personally because my grandparents were born and raised in Romania, came over on a boat, couldn't get into Ellis Island because there was too many refugees and immigrants, so they went up to Canada, worked on a farm, and snuck into America, hiding under a bunch of vegetables, and settled in Cleveland, Ohio, my mom's folks. And so it was neat to be able to go back to Romania and to be able to see the work of the churches there and the pastors there. And the Romanian people are just wonderful, passionate for the gospel, and they have suffered a lot too, like the church in China. And so it was neat to be able to just encourage them in their faith, to be able to bring two pastors with me this time from China, and for them to be able to share their stories about how the Lord has endured and helped them through persecution and helped their churches to grow. Their house churches have been under tremendous pressure, as you can imagine, over the past year or two, with both political pressure, religious persecution, and these two brothers have been faithfully serving now through COVID for this last year. So pastors everywhere, I feel for Pastor Adam coming to Chattanooga. Welcome to Chattanooga. We've got COVID, the biggest pandemic since 1919, and now we've got a tornado taking the church down. We drove by Grace to see it last night, and we were a little bit shocked to see that apparently Genghis Khan had come through and not a single brick was standing on another brick, just an open field. And for Don and I and the kids, just a little bit of overwhelming culture shock to see that empty field. But we know the Lord will bring it back from the ashes. And just as the Lord has given all of you 4 decades of wonderful worship and fruitful ministry in that old sanctuary, we look forward to the day when we can stand and proclaim God's goodness in the new sanctuary. And it's not a bad thing to have a restart button, as the Lord has taught us through the pandemic. And I'm sure he's going to expand the ministry of Grace in the coming days as well. So in Romania, the focus was on the persecuted church, and we were able to visit this prison. It was still an active prison. They took away our cell phones, our tablets, our iPads, our computers, anything with a wire on it, any remote clickers or USBs, anything that remotely looked like technology. They took it all away on the bus before we came in because they didn't want us recording it. But we were able to go into the cell where Richard Wurmbrand, who wrote Tortured for Christ, was interned for several years, and some of the pastors were in there for 15 years. And we saw on the walls, and we asked Our pastors asked in Chinese, and I translated into English, that our Romanian brothers would translate what was written on the walls. And it was beautiful to hear the words and to be able to translate and listen. Psalm 51, Psalm 23, Psalm 63, written all over the wells, all over the walls of those cells where they were interned in prison for many, many years. So just a powerful time for all of us that were there, for the Eastern Europe field, as well as for us from China, to be able to see the Lord's hand. And Paul reminds us in Romans 5:3, not only that, but find joy in your suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint because the Holy Spirit has poured it out into our hearts. And I think that's our main testimony this year is, yes, it has been difficult. Yes, there has been suffering. And we can't even hold a candle to what you folks went through, although we did set up a little plastic shed in our backyard. It was from Lowe's, cost $900. It wasn't cheap. And we had a 50-mile-an-hour wind the other day in Ohio, and it ripped the roof off, ripped the doors off, ripped two of the walls off. Took us 2 days to put it back together. So we can empathize a tiny bit with you all. And our church in Tacloban Leyte, where my parents ministered for a while in the Philippines, it was hit several years ago by the biggest storm in history, and 10,000 people drowned. They were swept out to sea and couldn't make it back. The church managed to survive intact. But through these storms of life, we see the hand of God's goodness on it all. And so one of the neat things here that you'll all find interesting, you can't see it real well, but they took us to their church, Trinity Church, which is a Baptist church in downtown Bucharest. And during communism, they actually hid Bibles in the choir loft, in the wall of the choir loft, so that the government couldn't find it. And then during their services, they would open the secret compartment and pull out the Bibles, pass them out to the whole congregation. As soon as the service was done, they'd take the Bibles and hide them back in the wall of the choir loft. So it was really neat just to see kind of the connections between China and Romania under communism, and how the church grows, how the church perseveres, and how they even bear fruit during those times. So what are our praises this year as we come to Thanksgiving? Well, three main ones. Number one, we're still alive. I think all of you are thankful for that too. Number two, all four of our parents are still alive, dealing with various difficulties. Alzheimer's for Fanny, and Fred, of course, has diabetes and several other issues. My parents are dealing with my dad's dementia. He fell and hit his head, had a concussion, and the blindness issues. But through it all, our parents are actually doing very well, and we're thankful for that. Don's grandma's turning 98 in a couple months. And like I said, we actually have two cousins, one who's 100 and one who's 102. So we're thankful for the Lord's mercy on our family through all this. And number three, the church in China is still alive. And not just alive, but it's thriving. We heard a report that one of the churches down in Wuhan, which is where the disaster initially struck and where most of the people were killed, their church normally has 1,000 people in the services. They've gone virtual, they've gone online, and they had 100,000 people coming to their church virtually. So we praise the Lord for technology. I've been preaching for Beijing Baptist Church even during our evacuation and exile, and it only has maybe 80 members. But the neat thing is a lot of them have gone home to their home countries, and some of them are from Africa. Quite a few of them are from Asia. There are several from Australia and some from Europe, and of course, some from North America. So literally, when I preach, it's to five different continents, and so a very truly international church. We just have to throw in South America and Antarctica, and then we've got a truly global church. And so it's neat to see the Lord opening these doors. And prayer requests for us, obviously, would be perseverance as we finish homeschooling the kids this semester. Don's done a wonderful job. Just extra love and gentleness, caring for our older relatives in their latter years. And third, just to be able to find joy in every circumstance that we have, even if it's suffering, even if it's something that we wouldn't have asked for, to be able to find joy in that. We want to leave you with one of our favorites, Matthew 6:33. Nimen yao xian shou tadi guo he tadi yi, jie xie dong xi dou yao jia gei nimen. Which is, don't worry about your life, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God bless you all. Thank you. Amen.
Let's pray for the Entners before we let him go back and sit down as we continue our service. Lord, thank you for this family and their faithfulness over the last 25 plus years. We thank you for the heritage that they have and their parents, and we continue to pray for their health, but just the ministry that you've allowed them to be a part of over the years. We bless you and just lift you up in thanksgiving for the lives that have been changed. And as Todd said a few minutes ago, we're praying for even greater results because of the pandemic and what you're doing, even though sometimes we don't see it. We're just thankful for believers all around the world that continue to share their faith. So we just continue to lift the Entners up and bless them in their time here with family, but also, if it would be your will, please allow them to go back soon to the place that you've given them to serve there in China. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. I'm going to ask you to stand with me again as we prepare our hearts for the message and David coming and speaking to us in just a few minutes. I will boast only in the cross.
I will boast only in the cross, where my Savior died for me. Nothing else, no other love goes so far and runs so deep. I will boast only in the cross, see his head, his hands, his feet, scars of scars that heal. He broke the curse and set me free. Lonely one took the nails. Lonely one tore the veil. Lonely one, spotless lamb.
Pray together. Father, we have so much for which to be thankful. And we ask that you would use your word now to open our eyes even more to your own goodness, to your steadfast love, to your faithfulness. I pray you'd have your will and your way among us for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. I would invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 100. And as you're turning to Psalm 100, I want to read for you a statement made by President George Washington in October of 1789. Either he or someone after him, I'm not sure, called this the Thanksgiving Proclamation. President Washington said, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the benevolent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of our government, for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors which He hath been pleased to confer upon us, and also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and increase the science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as He alone knows to be best." A couple of things stand out to me about that statement. And the first is simply, praise God for men who spoke like that while leading our country. It is increasingly rare to hear such authorities make acknowledgments such as that. And the second thing that stands out to me is that President Washington apparently understood that Thanksgiving is rooted in the very heart of the Bible's message about the way that people should respond to the goodness of God. As he says, it's the duty of individuals and of societies to acknowledge God's providence, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits. Well, we can only know about God's providence and God's will from the Bible. And that knowledge should lead us to respond in thankfulness to Him. So what I want to do in this message this morning is to show you from the Bible that we have been created to give thanks. That's one of the primary reasons that you and I exist, so that we can express thankfulness to God. Everyone wants to know, why do I exist? It's a fundamental question. It's an important question. And I would answer, at least in part, that you and I exist to give thanks to God. And I think that I'm agreeing with the Bible when I say that. Many Christians answer, if you were asked, well, why do you exist? You might answer the question by saying, I exist to glorify God. And I would say you are right. That answer is biblical. In fact, that's how many historic Christian catechisms have answered the question. For example, the New City Catechism, which is actually a newer one, but it's based on an older one, asks question 4, how and why did God create us? And the answer is given, God created us male and female in His own image to know Him, love Him, live with Him, and glorify Him. So it doesn't expressly say we exist to give thanks to him. The emphasis is more on glorifying God, on living to his glory by knowing him, loving him, living with him. It goes on to ask in question 6, well, then how can we glorify God? And the answer there, we glorify God by enjoying him, loving him, trusting him, by obeying his will, commands, and laws. And you see there the connection between glorifying God and enjoying him, which might remind you, some of you, of the first question of the Westminster Catechism. What is the chief end of man? The answer, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And you might think, by even going through those questions, that I've already proven myself wrong from the outset, because none of those statements say anything at all about thanksgiving, do they? But what I hope to accomplish this morning is to show that none of those priorities can be accomplished without thanksgiving to God. Starting in 100, we're going to see, Lord willing, the connections between thanksgiving and all of those things that were listed there. Thanksgiving and knowing God, glorifying God, enjoying God, loving and obeying him, trusting him, and living with him. Thanksgiving is crucial for all of those purposes. And I should make clear from the outset, I love Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for most of my life has been my favorite holiday. I like Christmas a lot, but I don't want to hear your Christmas music or see your Christmas decorations until after Thanksgiving. I don't want to watch Christmas movies until after Thanksgiving. I remember a couple of years when I was younger, we would spend Thanksgiving in Michigan. My grandfather pastored a church in West Michigan, so my grandparents lived on a parsonage across the lawn from the church building, and we would have so many family members at these Thanksgiving events. Parents, siblings, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, that we'd actually have the Thanksgiving meal in the fellowship hall of the church building. And so we'd carry this feast across the lawn from the house to the fellowship hall, which became like a banquet hall. And I look back on that and I think that has got to be a foretaste of glory divine. And then after I got married, I realized pretty quickly that meant 2 Thanksgivings per year, one with my family, one with my wife's family. So I love Thanksgiving. And I love the priority that the Bible puts on Thanksgiving. Not the holiday, obviously, but the practice of it. In fact, the concept of Thanksgiving is mentioned over 160 times in the Bible. And you have reason to be thankful, because I'm not going to have us look at all of them this morning. But I do want to start in Psalm 100 and see this connection first between thanksgiving and knowing God. You'll notice in Psalm 100 that it is given a title. It is called a psalm for giving thanks. And there's good reason to think that those titles, those superscriptions, are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and therefore they're put there intentionally by the human author. And in Psalm 100, there are 7 commands in the first 4 verses. All of these are plural commands, meaning they're given not just to individuals, but to groups of people, to communities. Some of these commands are even for all the earth to obey. Others are specifically for the redeemed of Israel. And after those 7 commands, in verse 5, you find one reason. Psalm 105, "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." The source of thankfulness is in the character of God. Thanksgiving only makes sense if you have someone to whom you're thankful and something for which you are thankful. I am thankful to God, the psalm tells us, for God, for his goodness, for his covenant love and faithfulness, which are forever, which last for all generations, which is why we can sing things like, "All our lives he has been so faithful and so good." And so with every breath that we are able, we will sing of the goodness of God. And that's what the psalmist does here. He sings a song of thankfulness to God for his goodness, and he invites others to join him. Psalm 100 is structured in such a way that the emphasis is on knowing the Lord. I want you to look at the screen and I want you to see the structure here. I'm going to read these 4 verses and then talk a little bit about why it's structured this way. Psalm 100, Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. And in these seven commands, the way they're structured, the middle command is the one that holds all the rest together. It's like a hinge that connects the prior statements to the later statements. And the earliest statements correspond to the latest ones, and so on down the line. So the first one matches the last, and the second one to the second to last. And so that's why they're on the screen that way. And so the primary command here in this psalm for giving thanks is that command, know the Lord. That's the best way to translate that. Know the Lord. Know that he is God. So one question for application for us who are here today is this. Do you know the Lord? Do you know that he is God? Do you know that he made us? Do you know that he has made a way for us to be his people? Know the Lord. And those who know the Lord will do what is said in those next closest commands. At the end of verse 2, come into his presence with singing. And then at the beginning of verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. The psalmist is describing the way that God's people in the Old Testament would gather at his temple in Jerusalem for corporate worship. The temple had outer gates, and upon entering the gates, you would come into the courts of the temple. And the further you walked into the courts, the closer you would get to the presence of God, which was in the form of the Ark of the Covenant, which was in the innermost part of the temple, which no one was actually allowed to get all the way into that part. But as you entered the gates and came into the courts, you would enter into the presence of God. And that word for come in verse 2 is the same as the word for enter in verse 4, showing that those two statements correspond to one another. And so God is inviting his people who know him to enter with thanksgiving and praise into his presence. And anything that happened within the temple was an act of service by the people of Israel, especially the priests, but really all the people. It was an act of service to the Lord, which is why verse 2 begins with that command, serve the Lord with gladness, because it's assumed that if you're coming into the temple, you're coming there to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. And these are imperatives for redeemed, but in a lot of ways also, they are invitations for all the earth. Notice who is addressed in verse 1. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, who? All the earth. So if you're here today, it doesn't matter where on earth you are from, you are invited to make a joyful noise to the Lord. You are invited to know the Lord and to find your joy in him. And those beginning commands, to make a joyful noise to the Lord, to serve the Lord with gladness or with joy, match those last two commands at the end of verse 4. Give thanks to him and bless his name. And by structuring it that way, the psalmist matches all of those themes. He matches the theme of thanksgiving with that emphasis on knowing God. And he also matches thanksgiving with the theme of enjoying God, making a joyful noise to him, serving him joyfully and gladly, coming into his presence with joyful singing. And of course, remember the reason for all of this. Why? Verse 5, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. But what about those who are not thankful? What about when even you and I are not thankful? What about when we have a sense of entitlement or when we become discontent with our circumstances? We have been created to glorify God, and yet all of us in some way have failed to glorify God, and perhaps the primary way is that we have failed to be thankful. At least that seems to be the Apostle Paul's diagnosis in the opening of his letter to the Romans, as he talks about the unrighteousness of man that brings about the wrath of God. What does he attribute that to? What is the unrighteousness of man that brings about the wrath of God? Here's how he answers that in Romans 1:21. He says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." And I put two different translations up there on the screen to show that the word for honoring God is also the word we would normally translate to glorify God. And Paul says that we have not honored God, we've not glorified God, and we've not given thanks to God, which means that to not glorify God is to not give thanks to him. And if that's true, then the reverse of that would also be true, that part of glorifying God is giving thanks to him. And Paul seems to indicate that it was a lack of thankfulness that doomed humanity back in the Garden of Eden, and that every human since then has failed to glorify God and failed to give thanks to him. And we are a naturally unthankful people, even when we know God. And our lack of thankfulness, according to Paul, causes our thinking to become futile and our foolish hearts to become darkened, and it merits the righteous wrath of God. And all of this begs the question, if the psalmist says that we must come into the presence of God with thanksgiving, and yet we are a naturally unthankful people who are under God's good condemnation, how can we ever hope to enter into God's presence? And the answer is that our good God sent his only Son to be the shepherd who would gather God's sheep into his fold. Psalm 100 called God's people the sheep of his pasture. And the New Testament teaches us that Jesus is the door of the sheep, which means that access into God's presence is not found ultimately through the gates of a temple, but through a person. Jesus is said to be the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. We even sang about that this morning. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms, he carries them all day long. No one took Jesus' life from him. He laid it down willingly. He has the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. And because of Jesus laying down his life as a substitute, as a sacrifice, dying our death on the cross, you and I can be forgiven of our failure to glorify God and our failure to give thanks to him. If we will seek God's goodness by turning from our sin and trusting Christ completely, if you will do this, he will extend his steadfast love and faithfulness to you forever, and you will know God and live for his glory by giving thanks to him. If you need to know more about this good news, please talk to someone, maybe someone you've seen on stage today, maybe someone standing at the door on your way out. We'd love to share more with you. Thankfulness is tied to glorifying God, and if so, it must also be tied to enjoying God. We're created to glorify God and enjoy him, and what we see in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, are these commands linked together? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so all three of those commands then are tied together into the will of God. The rejoicing always, the enjoying God part of it, calling out to him joyfully without ceasing, and giving thanks to him in all things. Notice the alwaysness of all of those things. They are the will of God. Giving thanks is the will of God. And there's one other place in the same letter where something is said to be the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, Paul writes, "This is the will of God, your sanctification." Sanctification is the process, once you become a follower of Jesus, it's the process of being made more like Jesus, being made holy, becoming more Christ-like, being conformed to a greater degree into his likeness. And Paul says, it is the will of God for this to happen to us. And those who do the will of God are those who love him, which is why obeying God and doing his will are both tied to loving him. When we give thanks, we are doing his will. We are displaying our love for him. And holiness matters because the writer of Hebrews says that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And holiness, according to Paul, requires thanksgiving because both are the will of God. So thanksgiving really matters. Let me try to make another point of application at this juncture. How can I practice thanksgiving in a way that will increase my holiness? Let's say that you are tempted to covet, or to lust, or to steal. Well, the reason that you would consider acting on those temptations is because you are not content with what God has given you. You are not thankful. So, rather than covet the possessions of others, give thanks to God for what he has given to you. Rather than lusting after another, give thanks to God for the spouse that you do have, or for the one that he will give you in the future. Rather than taking what is not yours, give thanks to God for the ability to work and to provide for your needs honestly. You see, thankfulness can keep us holy. Thankfulness can keep us trusting in God, even when circumstances may cause us to think that we don't have reasons for thankfulness. For example, when a tornado devastates neighborhoods and homes and churches and schools, it may seem that we have no reason for thankfulness. Or when a pandemic terrorizes the globe and maxes out hospital beds and shuts down schools and takes hundreds of thousands of lives and alters society as we know it and people lose their jobs, it may seem that we have no reason for thankfulness. For some, even the results of a presidential election may seem to bring about worry and fear rather than thankfulness. And so we have to ask ourselves, is our trust in buildings and property and health and paychecks and politics and presidents and FEMA? Or is our trust in God? Paul gave instructions to Timothy about how his church, about how the church that Timothy led, was to respond to opposition. He writes this in 1 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, I urge then that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. And in Timothy's context, the kings and all who were in high positions were not saying things like George Washington said. In fact, these authorities were denying the God of the Bible, and they were promoting violence against Christ and his church. And Paul taught that even in those circumstances, the church should display its trust in God by offering to God prayers and thanksgivings for those governing authorities. So the application for us then is this: regardless of which way you voted in the election, the best way to enjoy a peaceful and quiet life is to pray for the men and women who were elected. Give thanks to God for them and for our government. Pray for them so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way. And giving thanks to God for them will show that our trust is not ultimately in the ones who have authority in this age, but it is in the one whose authority will go on for ages without end. Giving thanks in this life prepares us for the life to come, as we read in Revelation 11. Thanksgiving is even tied to this idea of living with God, because John saw the seventh angel blow his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Not for one term or two terms, forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God. And what did they say? "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and have begun to reign." And at the end of all things, the kingdom of Christ will overtake and outlast all other rulers and authorities, and those elders, representatives of all the nations, will fall before God in thankful worship, and forever we will join them in saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty." So I think the catechisms were right. We were created by God to glorify him and to enjoy him forever. We were made in his image to know him, love him, live with him, and glorify him. And the biblical authors were right. We can't do any of those things without thanksgiving. And the thanksgiving that Adam and Eve and all of us since them have failed to offer, we will spend eternity offering back to God, because he is good, because his steadfast love endures forever, his faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray. So, Father, help us to be a people that prepares for that future of constant thanksgiving to you by practicing thanksgiving to you now in all circumstances. You are good, and we are grateful, and we give thanks to you. We pray you'd hasten the day where you come and you take your great power and you begin to reign for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand with me, and let's give praise to the Lord. Give thanks to him for his great faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faith,
great is thy faithfulness,
great is. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Lord, bless you. Hope you can find ways. I know you can find ways to give thanks to the Lord today and as the days to follow. Lord, bless you.